All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler, and Bag Milk starts now.
Oilers Nation Radio episode 217 coming at you on a Thursday because three of the four of us are heading off to Toronto tomorrow. Bag Milk here, Tyler, Dan, and Liam, who is the one host today that is not attending.
Loyal to my city.
I respect that.
Mm-hmm. I don't.
No?
Loyal to Liam heard we were going to see a soccer game and he said, no.
I'm going to Calgary instead.
Oh, so you are honoring your city indeed. Oilers Nation Radio episode 217 brought to you by our friends at Oodle Noodle and DoorDash. Ding dong. If you are hungry today on Thursday, maybe you got some Friends reruns you want to watch. Remember that was on Thursdays, Dan? Huh?
Yeah.
You can order some Oodle Noodle via our friends at DoorDash. They are delicious. 17 locations and counting. Try the butter chicken mac and cheese. That's what I've been instructed to tell you. It's delicious. You may think, I like butter chicken. I like mac and cheese. I promise you, you'll like them both together. Instead of starting off the podcast with the delicious debate as we normally do, unfortunately, we were hit with some really sad news yesterday as Ben Stelter, Oilers super fan, unfortunately succumbed to his battle with cancer. So I just thought that we should start off the podcast talking about Ben for a second. I did this yesterday on Better Late Than Never, and it's sad, man. I don't know that I've ever seen somebody pull everyone together the way that Ben did, and the way he got the building going, the way he inspired the players, the way he inspired the city and the hockey community at large. I just... really, really special time that we got to have with him and the Stelter family, and thank them for sharing him with us. And I just want to get everybody's thoughts on Ben Stelter's passing today.
Well, I'll start us off. I mean, for me, it's I was lucky enough to just happen to be on the Oilers Nation account when Mike sent us a message or tweet March the 30th of 2021, and fell in love with the little guy right then and there. You know, was just starting treatment and just starting to go through it, and you know, we now know how the story kind of played out, and it's a wonderful story. It's a sad moment here at this kind of juncture. But I really think that, you know, Ben made a really positive thing happen in this city, and we were already excited and we were ready to go for the playoffs, but the inclusion of Ben just made it, I think, a little bit more special, and you guys experienced it on your trip, you know, just being around the little guy in the arena. It was his energy was palpable, and you could just see the excitement that he garnered from our excitement of seeing him. So yeah, it's a pretty tough day pretty tough couple of days to go here. And yeah, we're all just kind of reeling, I think, a little bit.
Tyler?
Yeah, I think Dan kind of nailed it when, like, this is obviously a really sad moment, and my heart goes out to his family, right? Having to go through this right now. It's just unimaginably sad. But, you know, talking about this from a, you know, the Oilers perspective and that connection between Ben and the team and the fan base, I like to look back on those few months from the end of the season into the playoffs through, you know, a bit of a happy lens, in the sense that, you know, Ben obviously, his life didn't last very long, but that ending there, right? Getting to be friends with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. I think about the time he was having down in LA, getting to go to Disneyland one day and then watch his favorite team the next day in the playoffs in the building and high five the players coming out. Just the way the team embraced him and Connor and Leon embraced him and then hung out with him and things like that. The way the fan base embraced him and made him feel like a celebrity at every game, getting standing ovations and all of that stuff. Again, this is a sad moment. Your heart breaks for his family. But what a great couple of months it was. And I just applaud the team and all of that, and his family as well for letting him do all of that. Cause it was really great to see how special everyone made Ben feel.
Yeah, I agree. It was, I think my favorite moment of Ben was that game 7 against LA, and they put him on the big screen when they did the intro and he said, "Play La Bamba, baby." Like, and it gives me goosebumps even just saying it right now. And I saw it again last night. I was like, man, like being in that rink when that happened, when they showed that clip, it was amazing, to be honest. And it's so sad that we won't be able to see him at games anymore. But I feel like the Oilers are going to do a good job of still having him around in one way or another, which is going to be special.
Some of the Oilers took to their social media accounts yesterday just to pay tribute to Ben. From Connor McDavid's Instagram account, he says, "You touched everyone's hearts and were such an inspiration to us all. Lucky to be your friend. Rest easy, Benny." Evander Kane on Twitter put out, "Ben, you're a true warrior and such an inspiration to us all. Your strength, determination, courage, and love beamed through the hockey world and especially our team. I'm going to miss your fist bumps before the games, and to the Stelter family, we send our love and support." Zach Hyman said something. Leon Draisaitl said something. Everybody did. In fact, the Oilers did a little impromptu press conference today with Zach Hyman, Connor McDavid, and Jay Woodcroft talking about what he meant to the team in the city. And it was just really nice of the Oilers to do that. They're still in vacation mode, but for them to all take some time and just talk about what he meant to them and to the team and to the city, I thought that was really nice to see today.
And the organization usually nails this stuff, but I would imagine they have something pretty great. A plan to honor Ben and kind of his legacy. I know people were tossing around ideas on Twitter, but it'd be great if they could use one of those suites and kind of make it like Ben's suite, right? Where, yep, you know, you partner up with the Stollery or the Cross Cancer, whatever you need, whoever you need to partner with, and have it. So, you know, maybe every game there's a kid going through something who gets to bring his family there and have a moment where he gets to go give the fist bumps and things like that. It'd be awesome.
I agree.
Yeah, I think that one kind of thing that you guys keep mentioning, and I think it bears repeating, is the way that the Oilers handled this, I think has been really well done from start to finish, and they deserve a little bit of credit here. I know, you know, obviously the family and Ben had to be willing to do it too, but the Oilers really just took it and ran with it, and it's been a wonderful thing for fans to be able to just kind of enjoy and be distracted of. And you know, Liam, you mentioned your favorite moment. I have to say my favorite moment was I think it was game 5 when the Oilers lost, and then there was that image of Ben hugging Connor in the hallway afterwards against LA. And it just felt like he hugged the entire city in that moment and just said, "You know what, guys, like, we got this. We're still fine. We can come back from this." And they sure as shit did. So yeah, it's such an emotional thing. It's honestly, somebody mentioned it on Twitter the other day, you know, like how in this topsy-turvy time that we're living in right now, all you saw yesterday was just compassion and love and emotion spread throughout the entire hockey family. So it's been wonderful to see.
Ben Stelter, you're the best.
Yep.
And just to share a favorite memory, I think Tyler, you'll probably agree with me. We were lucky enough to meet Ben down in LA. He and I got to exchange stickers. I gave him a Nation sticker. He gave me one of the Wendy stickers that I still carry in my wallet. He was super excited about that game. Unfortunately, like Dan said, the Oilers ended up losing that night, but that did not temper his appreciation or excitement for what was going on and just being there in general. So to the Stelter family, we're all thinking about you. And again, just thank you very much for sharing Ben with us over these last couple of months, because he's pretty amazing.
Yeah, bang on. I just still love how crazy the crowd would go. Like, Liam, you talked about the little clip that they would have of him saying "Play La Bamba, baby," and how wild the crowd would go then. Anytime he was put up on the big screen, the crowd would go nuts. Like, the city really did kind of fall in love with him, and it was just such a great and memorable part of that playoff run and of the season. So, again, a super sad moment, but it also is nice to kind of look back and remember the really great parts of what Ben was able to bring to the fan base.
100%. So we'll just take a quick break there and we'll wrap it up and just say thank you again and thoughts with the Stelter family. Mm-hmm. Getting back to the podcast as normal, we usually start off with the delicious debate for our friends at Oodle Noodle. So Tyler, take it away.
Yeah, today's delicious debate comes around a piece of breaking news we got from the Pacific Division today. Vegas Golden Knights announced kind of out of nowhere, 10 a.m. on a Thursday, that Robin Leonard's going to miss the entire 2022-23 season with hip surgery. A bit of a wild story to see pop up.
So who is their goalie now?
They're going to be running. The only two goalies they have under contract, or the two expected goalies they'll have under contract, are Laurent Brossoit, 29 years old, and Logan Thompson, who is a 25-year-old, 6'4" from Calgary, who played 20 games or has 20 career games under his belt. Granted, he has good numbers in those games, a 216 goal, 266 goals against average, 914 save percentage. But Vegas seems to be heading in a direction where they don't really have a proven number one anymore.
The only NHL experience, I think the most NHL experience they have on their roster right now, is Michael Hutchinson, formerly of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah. So with the news that Vegas may not have a starting goalie, today's delicious debate is this. With this news, rank the teams 1 through 8 in the Pacific Division.
Okay, who wants to start? I'll do it. Oh, it's still, to me, call me Homer all you want.
Homer,
thank you. This is the Oilers division to lose.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna say Edmonton 1.
That makes sense. Yeah, I don't think anyone on this podcast is gonna argue with you.
So Edmonton 1. Okay, I'm gonna say I would have said Vegas 2.
Yeah,
not anymore. Who the fuck they have in net?
Yep,
I might as well try out for the Vegas Golden Knights in net. So Edmonton 1, I'm going to say Vancouver 2. Thoughts? Actually, you know what? I'm going to say Calgary 2. Their defense is going to be really good. Then I'll say Vancouver 3. Vancouver or LA 3. Okay. Those are interchangeable to me. So let's just start with the first 3 or 4 and see where you guys are at. Just to round things off, the Ducks, terrible. I'm going to say the Ducks finished last in the division this year.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think Seattle just got better quietly, and they'll do enough to get to bridge that gap.
Yeah. So for me, obviously Edmonton 1. I'm warming up to Calgary a little bit more. You know, Huberto signed and all of that. There's less of a question mark. Their blue line is just going to be so damn good. Mm-hmm. And with Markstrom between the pipes, it's like, okay, they'll win a lot of games off the back of being coached by Daryl Sutter, having an elite, elite blue line and an elite goaltender as well. I really like Vancouver more than most. So I'm going to put them 3. I know I said on a pod a couple weeks ago, I had them as like, oh, they could be the biggest threat to Edmonton. Their blue line is just not quite there. Their forward group, I like more than Calgary, actually. But their blue line is just so far behind Calgary's. Between the pipes, they're solid. But that gap on the blue line has them at 3 for me. I actually think the 3 Canadian teams are probably going to be the only ones to make the playoffs. I have LA at number 4, but missing the playoffs because of the 5 teams in the Central in all likelihood. But I have LA at number 4 right now. Vegas would have fallen behind them with this Leonard news. So Vegas at 5.
What do you say, Liam?
Edmonton 1. I'll go Calgary 2 as well. I will go LA 3. Vancouver 4, Vegas 5, and then...
What's the big difference for you between LA and Vancouver?
I feel like LA just now have that experience of being in the playoffs. Like last year, they didn't have Drew Doughty. Victor Arvidsson didn't play in the playoffs either. They just got Kevin Fiala. Like I feel like their forward group might be a little bit better. Like Vancouver...
I don't like LA and net, though.
I don't like LA and net either. I think their blue line's fine.
Their blue line's fine. I think their goalies, they'll be fine. Like... I just think the experience factor of having like a Kopitar and Doughty just puts them over the edge a little bit over Vancouver. That would be the only real difference for me. Mm-hmm. And the depth perhaps on forward. like the third line for LA would potentially be Alex Afalo, Blake Lizotte, and Arthur Kaliev. And then Vancouver's is Podkolzin. Yep. Dickinson and Mikheyev. I don't know. I might give LA.
And they have Hoglander.
Are they all name team?
Yeah.
I see. I give Vancouver a bit of an edge up front. It's close, but like, I really, really like Pedersen. With him and Miller, they have a high end that I think is a little bit better than LA's high end. Like, I don't hate Kevin Fiala, but like, he's, I think Kevin Fiala might struggle to be a point of game guy in LA. So yeah, I just, they are close though. I would agree with that. It's just the goaltending, like Thatcher Demko is going to win you so many games. Right. So I'd like them a little bit more there.
I think the blue line is close too. Like,
I think LA's blue line is better just because, you know, like Doughty's still going to eat you minutes and things like that. He's going to eat minutes like they're getting delivered by DoorDash. But yeah, anyways, Dan?
Well, I think you guys are, I understand the propensity to just want to dismiss Vegas, but I don't see Vegas as being a team that's just going to sit on their hands and be like, well, I guess we have Michael Hutchinson as our starting goaltender. I really envision that they're going to go hard in the paint, even if it means trading another big name to try and get a goalie back. I think that they will be desperate. So I'm going to say Oilers 1, Vegas 2, Vancouver 3, and then I would say LA 4. I think that I'm with Liam on thinking that LA is going to be better than even that they were last year. I think that they're just a solid team, kind of Calgary idea. They don't have a lot of talent up front where Vancouver does. And then Tyler, you nailed it on the head. For me, Demko is the difference maker in that one. And I think Demko is the best goalie in our division. So it's for me, I would say Oilers, Vegas, Vancouver, LA.
Who's bringing up the rear, everybody? Who's the caboose in the old Pacific Division?
You said Anaheim's going to come last. I think San Jose is going to come last.
I do too.
Like, they traded away Brent Burns. Like, at least Anaheim lost, they lost Getzlaf, and he didn't even have like a great season, but they went and picked up Klingberg, and Zegras will be better, and Drysdale will be better, and they have Strom. Gibson. Yeah, they got Strom too. I look at San Jose and it's like, okay, you traded away Burns. You're just generally very average when you look at the forward group. Like, they have some good pieces in Hurdle and Meyer, but there's no depth there really. The D pairings are blech. Like, it's Mario Ferraro and Erik Karlsson. Okay, fine. Radim Simek and Marc-Edward Vlasic. That's an awful second pairing. Marcus Nudavar and Matt Benning's like an average third pairing.
Shout out to Matt Benning.
Between the pipes, they're going with Kakanen and Reimer. And it's like, Reimer's fine. Kakanen's fine, but there's nothing there. At least Anaheim.
See, I think Reimer's going to end up in Vegas.
Oh, shit. That's actually, that could be a shout.
That's what I think is going to happen. Because, yeah. I agree with Dan that they're not just going to let their goalie go man down for the year and do nothing. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going to go fishing for James Reimer.
Okay. Let me ask a question quickly just on Vegas's cap. So I was lucky and it says they have minus $5 million.
Yeah.
So obviously, when you take off Lena and he goes to LTIR, they would just be at the floor, right?
And then they can put Weber on LTIR.
Is that not with him already there? Like, that's what I'm trying to figure out. So it says projected cap space is this, which is 5.794.
Yeah, you're right. Because when you look at the Oilers, like, they haven't officially put Klefbom and Smith on LTIR and they're minus $6 million. So actually, yeah, you're right. They'll be like right at the cap.
Okay. So on top of that, they have six defensemen signed.
Yep, they're good there.
And they have 11 forwards signed.
They still signed Nick Hegg, I think. Go down. He's a D man, but he's on IR. Yeah, they got to sign Nick Hegg.
So they have seven defensemen. So the defense is pretty much done. I guess Nolan Patrick will go into that forward group. So they have 12 forwards. Mm-hmm. And then they take whoever from.
They got to be money in, Henderson. Money out. So if they're going to go get Reimer, they have to like move Bressois.
Yeah, I think it's. Teams are just going to try and handcuff him.
Probably.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I don't know. The transaction of Reimer makes sense, but the in-division stuff is just so rare these days. And like, I thought maybe they'd go after Gibson too, but again, that's another franchise within your division trying to give you a goalie. It seems weird.
Unless San Jose just like tries to fleece him on a deal, right? And if you're San Jose, you're going, okay, we'll take Bressois. We'll give you Reimer. But hey, Vegas, you have that first round pick this year. Yeah. Uh-huh. We want that.
To get to the other side of that question that you guys had asked, where did Seattle improve that much that we're thinking that they're not the bottom barrel team?
Trade with Nashville, Fleece.
Columbus, you mean? Bjorkstrand's a 30 goal guy. Andre Burakovsky is a 25 plus goal guy.
First overall pick, slide to four.
So Shane Wright's in the lineup. Matty Beniers. You can insulate those two with one of Gord or Alex Venberg or even a Jared McCann if he slides in the middle. I think their forward group is actually starting to look fairly well-rounded.
I think it's pretty
good. Now, like, Burakovsky and Bjorkstrand are close to top line guys. They're not going to make the playoffs. Seattle's not making the playoffs, but they're closer to top line guys, which bumps down Schwartz and Eberle. And then you look at their blue line and it's, you know, it leaves you wanting a little bit, but it's not terrible by any stretch of the imagination. And I think Philip Grubauer has a bounce back season.
I agree.
I think he's a good goalie who just had a bad, shitty year and he could bounce back. So that's why I have them ahead of Anaheim and San Jose, but not ahead of any of the teams I would call quote unquote legit.
Fair enough. I legitimately asked that question because I did not follow anything of the crack in the offseason. So I appreciate you guys.
They just kind of had like a quietly sneaky good couple of moves there.
Yeah.
Like the Columbus trade. I said Nashville, but it's Columbus. Yeah. That was like picks for a 30 goal guy.
Made no sense. And like Bjorkstrand's on one of the best contracts in the NHL. How more teams weren't calling Columbus, or were teams just like unaware this was happening?
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't get it, man. Cause that was such a good, good trade. He's 27 and he's basically scores at a 30 goal pace every year. That's bananas.
Yep.
Here's something. What if Vegas call Seattle? They have Grubauer. Did Drager get injured or is he?
Drager's done for the year.
Drager's done for the year. Okay.
Then or for most of the year.
They probably won't be.
But they have Joey Decord in the minor, but they're running with the Jones Grubauer.
Martin Jones. Yeah. Maybe they call. I don't know. I think Seattle, looking at the roster, I actually didn't realize how decent they actually were. Like maybe they can.
They're not going to be a pushover. Like they had 60 points. Yeah. They won 27 games last year. I bet you they jumped from 60 points to like the 76 range. I could see them getting 8 more wins next year.
Do you think Wright plays? I don't think he does right away.
He might not. I think Seattle.
I think he's sellable.
Yeah.
I think he's sellable for a franchise that's in his second year. He'll sell some red jerseys.
You got to grab some momentum in that market, right? Especially if the Supersonics come back one day.
We can only hope.
Oh, Sean Kemp, I can bring out the jersey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fuck yeah.
That'd be nice.
Real nice. Real nice. So there you go. Delicious debate. We don't all agree on how the Pacific Division is going to look, but that's why we have a debate. I would like to hear from you. Hit us up on ON Radio Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Let us know how you think the Pacific's going to look. I say Oilers. Liam says Oilers. Tyler also said Oilers, as did Dan. The rest, though, none of it was the same.
Well, they don't call this podcast Other Teams in the Pacific Division Radio, do they?
We could call it that. Should we change the name?
Something to think about, I think, for next season.
It flows off the tongue. Mm-hmm.
I could see that in a logo.
I want to give a shout out to our friends at Cornerstone Insurance at cornerstoneins.ca. Tyler, you heard it a couple of weeks ago. He called in. He spoke to Bill. Bill helped him out. He got him insured. Quick as a gif, right, Tyler?
Mm-hmm. Now I'm cruising that nation truck around everywhere.
Because he's insured. He's allowed to. Mm-hmm. Cornerstoneins.ca. You too can be insured like Tyler. They've got auto, residential, commercial, life insurance, whatever you need. Click about. That's where you'll find the Citizens of the Nation button that'll get you a little discount at cornerstoneins.ca. Cornerstoneins.ca.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oilers got a little bit of housekeeping done this week. Tyler Benson signed a one-year two-way contract worth $750,000. $325,000, I believe. I just said that off the dome. I got to check that. Is guaranteed, regardless of where he plays. I want to start this conversation off just by saying I'm a little bit surprised Benson re-signed with the Oilers just because his path to play in the NHL is pretty blocked.
Yeah. It is, but at the same time.
How did you wake up today?
Me?
Yeah.
I got lots of sleep. Don't worry.
Did you? Why are you tired today?
I haven't had a second coffee.
Oh, I've been up since 5. I don't know why I was up at 5. I'm tired too, but that's going to help when I have to go to bed at 6 p.m. for my 6 a.m. flight tomorrow.
I think if you're Benson, you're signing for $750K. The Oilers gave you, you know, 300 some K, like you said, and guaranteed, which is big for someone.
Sure. It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money when you're 20 some years old, right?
It's like a lot of money for anybody.
Yeah. Like we kind of forget that sometimes. Like that's a good amount of guaranteed change, even if you're playing in Bakersfield and lighting it up. But the other thing too, is there's a spot to be had on the Oilers bottom six. And when you're at $750K, if you're Benson.
So let's walk that through. Who is it?
If you outplay Devin Shore.
But is Devin Shore even on the lineup? He's not in my lineup.
Sure, but then if you're Benson, all you're trying
to do is... He's got to play Warren Fogle to me.
Does he, though? Because right now, Fogle's on your third line.
Okay, so that's assuming for me that Holloway plays.
Ah, see? You know what happens when you assume?
What happens?
You make an ass out of you and me, and potentially Tyler Benson in this situation. But
I don't want to do that.
But like, if you're Benson and you come in and you outplay Matthias Janmark... You're making $750K. The Oilers are going to look at you and go, we could waive Janmark and keep you and save like maybe $300,000 against the cap.
Sure. You saw that photo of Janmark partying in the probably Gretzky jersey. You telling me that guy's getting outplayed?
Probably not. If you outplay Devin Shore, the Oilers can send him down and save $100,000. Like, I don't know. I think it's a fine bet for a guy like Benson to make. You're familiar with the city. You're a local guy. You're familiar with the system. If you have to go down to Bakersfield, you have your living arrangements set up there. Like, you know, going to another organization. Yeah, sure. If another organization was willing to take a chance on him, he maybe has a more clear path to a bottom six role. But I think he's a guy who controls his own fate here.
It could be. Yeah. Like they just being comfortable within his spot.
You have somewhere to live here. You have somewhere to live already in Bakersfield. Moving's a pain in the ass.
Nobody likes to move. Liam, your thoughts on Tyler Benson?
I think from an organizational perspective, it's actually pretty important to have him in Bakersfield this year. That's where he is. Like, it's going to be a very young group. It's good to have that experience. And the veteran guy, like, seems like the Oilers kind of like Brad Malone. Like, would anybody be shocked if he played on the Oilers this year? Like,
he played in the playoffs over Benson.
Oh, yeah. Like, maybe Malone kind of
get that look off that smug look off your face, Dan.
Takes a 13th, 14th forward role with the Oilers, perhaps. I don't know, whatever. And Benson becomes maybe the captain of Bakersfield and takes all these young guys under his wing for a year or two, whatever he signed for, and goes from there. Like, I don't know. That feels like a good role for him. Maybe he's just kind of come to terms of like, I'm just always going to be a fourth line guy in the NHL. Why not just go score 80 points in the AHL or whatever he scores?
Dan?
Yeah, I think that for me, you know, I'm not usually a guy to dismiss a person, and obviously he's going to come to camp and try his damnedest to make this team. But yeah, I think that also the reality is that there's a finite amount of NHLers in this world, and then there's a finite amount of NHLers and AHLers in this world, and Tyler Benson kind of falls into that NHL / AHL spot, and will probably for the rest of his career. And as you guys mentioned, I think it's just comfort over function. He could have probably gone to a St. Louis and fought through his way through the Peoria system, but he knows what he knows in Edmonton, and maybe he just doesn't want that fight. Who knows? But for the organization, it is what it is, and it's a guy in your tool belt. If you get to that depth chart need, you have a person that has played NHL minutes.
Like, guys can get better over the summer, like you said, Dan. Right? He's going to come in. He's going to do his damn best to try crack this team. But for me. He's the definition of like a quad A player. Bagged Milk found something funny about Antonio Brown.
Tweeted a graphic of himself with
out for
a quote that is just spectacular, that has completely derailed my train of thought. So this is, and I quote from Antonio Brown, this just went out on Twitter 6 minutes ago. Tyler, I'm going to read this to you.
Yeah.
My biggest regret in my career doesn't involve calling my GM a quote unquote cracker or showing up to Raiders camp late in a hot air balloon with frozen feet or throwing rocks at a UPS driver. And it doesn't involve taking my shirt off and doing a victory lap around Jets Stadium mid game while throwing up deuces. My biggest regret is that I'll never get to see me, Antonio Brown, play a game live. Sure, I can watch the game afterwards, but I can't imagine what that was like for you all to see something like that. Like watching the Beatles or Jesus perform at Red Rocks, end quote.
Watching
at Jesus. Red Rocks.
Is that not one of the most amazing quotes that ever?
This has to be
special.
So it looks like he's like reposting something from a meme account based on the watermark there. But the fact he shared this from his main thing.
that's one heck of a newspaper clippings to believe.
Yeah, that derailed me.
Yeah, did it ever. The thing with Benson, what was I talking about? He's like,
it's like seeing Benson is like watching the Beatles
or Jesus
or Jesus do his thing.
Benson is like the definition of a quad A player, right? Like, you know, in baseball, the guy who can just mash triple A pitching and then he gets to the majors. They figure out if you throw him a curveball outside, he's basically, you know, unplayable. And like, that's maybe sounds harsh, but like Benson goes and rips up the American League. That's all he does. He goes and just piles up the fucking points at the AHL. Yeah. And then he comes to the NHL and it's like, okay, he loses his scoring touch and this and that. And it's like, it's frustrating, right? Because it's like, hey, maybe he will have a good summer. And he'll come in and he'll earn a spot and we'll be like, hell yeah.
I hope he earns a spot.
Yeah, like me too. It's a great story. Watching him score his first goal
hometown
in his hometown, like that was sick.
Of course.
But it's just, you know, it's been a couple summers now of let's hope Benson has had his best summer ever.
And that's the only reason I say I was surprised he re-signed. That's all.
Yeah.
It's not like I don't like the player or think that there's value there and having him on the depth chart. I just, if I'm Benson, I look at who's ahead of me.
Yeah.
And it's just like, man, that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the two-way street when you sign a contract. No, it's understandable. You had that thought, Bagnell.
Where do you think Benson plays? Okay. So last year, 2021-22, Tyler Benson played 29 games in the NHL, over under.
Whoa. I can't believe he played 29 games last year.
I think that's right. I want to make sure.
He did. Yeah. I can't believe he played 29 games last season. Yeah.
I was also surprised when I saw that. That's why I doubted myself after I said it.
I'll say under.
He played more games in the NHL than the AHL last season.
That's stunning. I didn't think that at all. And again, I like him as a player. I honestly think, if you would have maybe gone to another organization, he catches on somewhere, but like.
Who's the power play specialist we brought in at the trade deadline last year?
Derek Brassard.
Yeah, that's right.
Penalty kill specialist.
Tyler, speaking of Derek Brassard, Tyler Benson now gets his number back.
Yeah, that was weird. What a
waste of time.
He's a fucking guy. I didn't even wear it.
I will say under two.
Dan, over under 29.
Under.
Life's too short to bet
Brad
the under.
Malone,
I believe in you, Tyler Benson. Life's too short to bet the under.
Every year we get surprises like this, right?
Yep, of course.
I mean, Brad last Malone year we really didn't get any, but you know, sometimes you get surprises like
just
this.
Just got one right now. Hearing that Tyler Benson's played more games in the NHL last season than the AHL is surprising.
And had six times the amount of points.
Ooh, I got an idea. A fun little, like outside of the obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your bet for preseason MVP?
Fuck it. I'll say Benson.
The Ty Ratty Award, as we call it.
Oh, Janmark.
Janmark?
Yeah. Janmark. Or whoever they bring in on a PTO.
Oh, PTO everybody.
AKA PK PTO Subban.
Bill Kessel, PK, Subban, double PTO.
You guys walked right into my next topic that I'm so happy about. For some reason, and I don't know where these came from, but people keep sending me Oilers rumors where they're tied to Phil Kessel. Now, I have no idea, first of all, one, how they make the math work. Two, how much gas Phil Kessel still has left.
Minimal.
But all I know is you got to do it for the memes. You got to do it for the lols.
If you trade Fogle for a pick,
yeah,
there's a spot for Kessel on the right side in the sense that if Fogle's not here and Holloway doesn't make the team, you run Kane, Nuge, Hyman down the left side. Your right side at that point is basically just Puljujarvi and Yamo. So you probably want a right shot. You know, if Fogle stays, you're probably more inclined to let, or if Holloway makes team, you're more inclined to flip someone to the right side, like a Hyman, then there's not really room for Phil Kessel. But I think right now there's room for Phil Kessel. I will give you though, I have one PTO candidate that stands out above the rest. Danny DeKeyser.
Yeah. Ken Holland, known you know,
averaged 18 minutes a night for Detroit last season. Finished the year -8, granted, but he played in 60 games. He's a left shot. He's 32, coming off a big money contract. No one's clearly giving him anything. Holland's boy, it's happening. Just get ready.
Any forward PTOs you like outside of Phil the Thrill? Come on, do it. Just do it for the memes. Man, we'd make so much content.
You know, and this name shouldn't intrigue me in the slightest.
Is it PK?
Is it Nazem Kadri?
Are you saying PTO Nazem Kadri?
Yes, if he's open to it. Sam Gagne would be interesting for a handful of reasons. But I love the angle and the story of Gagne coming back and pushing towards 1,000 games as an Oiler is tremendous.
How many is he out? He's another guy where Sam Gagne is probably, how old is he also? He's probably in his early 30s, but he's been playing since he's 18. So he just feels like he's around
33 games away. So if you brought him in, he could do it in your bottom six.
How old is he? He was drafted in 07, right?
Yeah. So he's born in 89. 34? It doesn't say his fucking age. I can't do math.
2009.
He's 34. He just turned 34 yesterday. Happy belated.
Happy birthday, Sam.
I saw that. Happy birthday.
Yeah, Bob wished him a happy birthday. Anyways, the awkward thing with that is you don't want to get caught up in like the emotional side of it, right? Like if Gagne comes here and plays bad, then you have to do like the very awkward Mike Comrie thing where you're like, you didn't make it.
You shuffle him upstairs.
Yeah, or you do
that's
that.
Where he belongs.
Or you talk to him before and be like, hey, are you cool being like the vet down in Bakersfield for us? You know? Brad Malone made the team over you. It can get awkward.
What's the old career earnings on Sam? Come on. $750K. Let's go, Sam. League minimum. Let's get it done.
What are his career earnings?
Oh, man. I'd love to have him back.
Cap Friendly has Sam Gagne as $35.2 million.
He's fine.
Do you think he would be that guy, though? Like, I'll be honest. I haven't seen Sam Gagne play since he left the Oilers in 2020. But
he had 31 points last year.
13 goals. Like,
yeah. He could crack the team.
Like, is that better than Devin Shaw?
Yeah. I'm weirdly interested in this guy, probably just because I remember him being like a buzzed about prospect at one point. But Michael Dalcol, he's never been anywhere other than the Islanders organization. Like he doesn't score when he's been in the NHL, but like son of a bitch, the guy's 6'3", 200 pounds. He was a fifth overall pick at one point. He's had a couple of like, seasons in the American League. Like last year, he had 29 points in 39 games. I feel like maybe they're like, if you're going to give anyone a PTO, why not go with like a 26-year-old who has some upside or who might have some upside? He probably doesn't, but he might. I don't know.
So PTO Liam.
Why not?
I would.
You're 26. You got some upside.
I got some upside. I don't know what it is yet. I've never made it that far.
I believe in you.
Ooh, what about Cody Eakin?
Ginger. Can be part of the old Ginger team.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. You got real excited about that one. Uh-huh.
I had him on my list actually as someone to come in. Like,
but
I feel like he's been a guy the Oilers have been linked with in the past and not that long ago. Like maybe that's someone I wouldn't hesitate to not go with. What about Tyler Pitlick? What about Sonny Milano?
Sonny Milano would be good.
Sonny Milano, I feel like he's got to get a contract. Same with a guy like Sam Steele and what's his name? Rodriguez. Like Evan Rodriguez scored 19 goals last year. Like, come on. How are some of these guys not getting contracts? I don't get it. Son of a bitch. Alex Chiasson scored 13 goals last season. I know he signed overseas.
Bring him back.
Fuck it. Bring him back.
Oh, you know, he's
signed overseas.
You know, he's got an out clause over there.
Where'd he sign? Let me guess. Germany.
I'm going to say Zug. Zug?
Is that a team or a place?
I don't know. Zug.
Stay tuned.
Googled Alex Chiasson, clicked news.
Cody Egan had 4 goals and 8 assists in 69 games last year. Nice.
Well, Chiasson was originally brought in on PTO, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah.
See, you never know when a PTO guy will turn into a 20 goal scorer.
There's quite a few guys on this list, like maybe not him. There's not that many guys anymore. Dennis, this guy, I can't say his name.
Cholowski.
Former first overall pick. First overall.
Wow.
First round pick from Ken Holland.
Former friend Tyler Ennis is on that list.
I like Sam Steele too. I think that's a guy I have time for. But again, if you're the Oilers, like you have McLeod, you have likely one of Yamamoto or Puljujarvi in your bottom six, maybe Holloway. Like how young and small do you want to get in your bottom six?
Am I misremembering or was Sam Steele not expected to be like a shoot the lights out guy?
Yeah, yes. He was.
Didn't he score a hat trick against the Oilers last season?
He's a Ty Ratty type.
I'm just thinking, because I'm pretty sure he did. And it says here he had 6 goals. And I'm sure he's got a hat trick against the Oil.
I don't remember that.
He at least had 2 in that game.
He scored 2 on October 19th against the Oilers on 2 shots. Good pull. That is a good memory. How did you
remember that?
Because I remember them making a massive deal about how he was like the hometown kid and all this stuff. I think the Oilers won that game quite easily, too, if I remember.
Yeah, that would have been the one they...
Yeah. Yeah, maybe him. I like Sam Steele, but I feel
that
like...
That was the game Mike Smith got hurt in.
I think it was at the game.
Yeah, I was too. I think Josh Mahura, who was a local kid, I think that was Brad. the game he scored on himself. The Oilers won. I was in the same grade 2 class.
Was an Oiler, always an Oiler.
You played for the Oilers?
No. But if you're an Oilers fan, we're counting you.
Sure. Someone in front of me was wearing a Mahura jersey and we were sitting 7 rows up from the net he scored on himself on. And I was remembering like, ooh, sorry, buddy. Like I did feel bad for him because, like, you know, St. Albert boy and all that. But win some, you lose some, I guess.
He's probably still using his parents' Netflix account.
He makes gobs of money.
Yeah. I stand by what I said.
He's the most successful one to come out of that grade 2 class we were in together. I'll tell you that for
don't
free.
Don't sell yourself short like come that. Come on.
You're on Oilers Nation Radio.
Do you know how many people listen to this podcast? Hundreds of millions.
Mm-hmm. I've seen the numbers.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. It's time for Ask the Idiots. Are you ready, Tyler?
We are rolling through this episode and I am a fan.
Ask the Idiots for our friends at Montana's.
Montana's!
Because we're going to get Montana's messy. You, dear listener, can win prizes from Montana's just from going in, eating ribs, and using the hashtag #GetMontanasMessy. Can't remember that? No problem. Check out at Oilers Nation on Twitter. You can go to our Facebook page, Instagram. Hashtag's right there. We put it on the graphic. They send us the graphic. We post the graphic. You eat the ribs. You win the prizes. That's how it works. Get Montana's messy. Only a couple of questions for you today, boys. For Ask the Idiots. So I'm going to start with Nation Dan. Aside from Puljujärvi, Barry, and Fogle, the three that tend to get spoken about the most in terms of trade targets, who else could the Oilers move to clear up cap space? And what would that return be, Dan? We're playing armchair GM today.
Jeez, that's a spicy meatball to pitch my way. Let me bring up Cap Friendly here.
I got an idea. I'll let you do your
Dan's looking. Tyler, go ahead.
Yeah. You need to clear up money.
Yep.
The easiest way to clear up the most amount of money is just to trade your highest paid player.
Trade Connor.
Yep.
Surveyor Brett, you can clip that at any time and circulate that and let people know that Tyler apparently wants to trade Connor McDavid.
You trade him for a collection of like 12 first round picks. And then you just use those first round picks to trade for players making league minimum. So instead of having one Connor McDavid, you have 12 players like all on ELCs that you've used your first round picks to trade for.
Yeah, you got to get 123 points a year by committee.
Yeah, and then you do that. You use those players to ice a full second roster.
Do you think if you spent 12 $1 million players that their aggregate total of points would equal 123?
Hear me out. You get special exemption from the NHL. Whatever player...
Franchise tags.
Special exemption from the NHL. Whatever players you get in a Connor McDavid trade can all be on the ice at the same time and play as Connor McDavid.
So we're playing 12 on 5.
So like if you get 7 players in the package, fuck it. It's those 7 players on a line with Hyman and Kane.
Yeah, this is smart.
Yeah. If the NHL agrees to that, maybe a McDavid deal does make sense.
I see no downsides there. None at all.
So to answer the question, it's a tough question because the reason that those names are brought up is because they are a very specific value point versus their actual value to the team. They're not top line, top flight guys, but they're also not making millions and millions of dollars. If I could trade somebody to make cap space, that person would likely be a Darnell Nurse. However, you're going to then have to replace that skill on that line. So I just think that
you're getting our office monkey back.
What's that?
You're getting our office monkey back?
Cap space, the office monkey.
Yeah, we need some cap space back in the office.
I miss our giant stuffed gorilla.
Liam's like, what?
You didn't need cap space?
Before my time.
That was
almost before me, man. Like I was coming around right at that point too.
Oh yeah, because we traded cap space for an accordion.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we all blinked in 2020 and then 2022 was happening?
Yeah.
Where's the accordion?
So that's kind of where it happened.
Where is the accordion?
The accordion is long gone. Garbage dump.
Really?
Yep.
Somebody else had to play it. I'd
be curious to see the trade tree on that.
It's very simple. Cap space to accordion to nothing. Strom or Everly to Strom to Spooner.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Good okay. one, Chia.
Dan, who are you trading? I got you off track here.
That's okay. I would trade Darnell Nurse.
Liam, you got to clear some cap space. Who would it be?
I'm not trading Darnell Nurse. I was looking at Derek Ryan and I looked at like the comparable contracts and
you can bury him.
But to be fair to Ryan, like the other guys on the same deal, he's probably better than like Johan Lawson had a similar deal.
Yeah, he's good. I really like Johan.
You think so? Well, he was making 1.4 and I would just do something simple. Like get rid of Sadie Cuckoo. You pretty much get $1 million there. There you go.
Yeah, the reality is that okay, it's
you're not crazy. Though, Liam. Liam,
why
Liam,
am I not?
Liam, whoa.
He's the Oilers' seventh defenseman. He's not getting buried right now. He is the Oilers' seventh defenseman. So if I move him, I am getting Cuckoo? $1 million. Yes.
I thought we were still talking about Derek Ryan.
Oh, no. Cuckoo. I'm keeping
Ryan. Okay, but regardless, if he's the seventh defenseman making $925,000.
Yes.
If you move him, you have to replace him.
Yes.
So what are you saving?
900. I'm saving like 100 grand.
So what are we doing with this exercise?
Who else am I
this
moving?
Is a nonsensical.
This like- is so hard to do. I'm not moving McDavid, Draisaitl, Hyman, Nuge, Kane, Yamo.
That's why this question doesn't make sense.
That's,
is what I'm getting.
That's
at.
Why. Who that's why I question? Started my whole thing, Liam, with saying that it's like an oddly specific number, right? So it's like Cody Ceci and Brett Kulak are the only two others that fall into that line, and I'm not trading either of those guys.
I'm not going to sit here and say, not even for Blake. That I'm trading CC or Kulak.
Would you consider trading Connor as Tyler did?
No.
Interesting.
I traded Darnell, Liam. Who are you trading?
I am trading Slater Cuckoo.
I'm trading Jack Campbell.
I brought up trading.
But you're getting no cap space in your trade for cap space.
The question wasn't how much cap space can I can speak. I'm so frustrated. The question was, who am I moving to create cap space? My answer is Slater Cuckoo. And I am creating $925,000.
Break out the emergency banana.
I brought up trading Connor McDavid and then I proceeded to scream at you because you brought up trading Derek Ryan. This question's nonsense. This person is not getting any sort of prize.
Well, we have nothing to give away anyway, so no ribs for you. I think I would trade probably Leon Draisaitl. Thoughts?
Straight up Sean Couturier, who says no.
Or just picks. You know, you need that cap space.
To Florida for Matthew Tkachuk straight up.
Now, knowing how Florida makes trades, we trade Draisaitl. We get like Ekblad,
yeah, we Markov, get Ekblad, and yeah. first. That's excellent.
They'd eat half of all their contracts.
Did he mention getting fleeced at all on the DFO rundown when you interviewed Bill Zito? Did he acknowledge it or?
Well, so we're sitting there doing like our pre-show call before we do the interview with Zito. And that's when I was texting you being like, hey, I'm not going to like be on the meeting, weekly meeting, blah, blah, blah. And then you were like, ask Bill Zito why. So I was laughing and I was like, Frank, Bagmilk wants you to ask Bill Zito like why he did that. And that was Frank's first question was like, Bill, why? Like a little bit more professional than that, but it was very good.
I actually liked your reply to me back. I just asked why. And you're just like, Bill, question from Edmonton. What's your fucking deal anyway?
Yeah. Well, Zito, come on. You owe us Barkov now. Well,
I've got a very important. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Liam. I was going to say it's nice because Huberto's not a playoff player. So that'll be good.
That is true.
Rather than playing Kachuk. Well,
fits right in.
Yeah. I mean, Gaudreau out, Huberto in. Same. Either. You know, I've got a very important question. And I think you guys will all be very excited about this one. So I'm going to start with Liam. What is your favorite ice cream treat from a fast food place? Which is the most elite ice cream treat from a fast food place? You got Frosties from Wendy's, McFlurries, you got Blizzards.
Oh, I think it's Blizzard. Although I can only order the Oreo Blizzard.
Why is that?
Because one time I asked for the Smarties Blizzard and I literally had to spell out Smarties over the announcement thing because the lady couldn't understand what I was saying.
Even though and you spawned the language.
I speak English and I got all the way to the first, the only E, and she was like, oh, you want a Smarties Blizzard? It's like, how did I have to spell this so far before you figured out that I wanted that? So yeah, Oreo Blizzard, elite of the elite.
So only Oreo Blizzard.
I'm too afraid. It was so embarrassing.
You just got to do the hard tea, pal.
I can't. Don't make me do it.
You just got to do the hard
Smarties.
Two. Smarties. There you go.
You sounded very Albertan there.
Everybody's going to understand when you say Smarties.
Smarties.
Tyler.
I will agree with Liam and go with Blizzard. I'm a big fan of the strawberry cheesecake Blizzard.
Oh, nice.
But I'm not a big like sweets guy. So like I can only ever do a small. And, like,
some lots of sticks then maybe.
Yeah. Although they don't serve them at Dairy Queen. Although I will say there is something once in a while when it's a hot day, there's something nice about just your basic McDonald's vanilla cone.
Oh, classic.
You're hot. You just need to cool down maybe while you're driving, right? You got your penny.
Probably like 89 cents or something.
Yeah. You just cruise into the drive thru. One vanilla cone. Done.
Have you ever coned? Do you remember when people used to do that? And you used to
no, Liam, that's bad, Liam.
I know. I never did it.
What is it?
Couldn't drive until I was 18.
I don't know what's happening.
It's the same thing as like throwing drinks back into
that was not cool.
See, but that one creates a mess for the employees. The cone is you just grab the cone by the ice cream.
Some people would do the unicone where you would grab the cone by the ice cream and then put it on your head. I never did that. I was too old when I started driving.
No, if I'm going to invest 89 of my cents, I'm going to eat especially that fucking cone.
As a youth.
Of course.
It's your parents' money.
Of course. Well, maybe then I would do the, I would grab it by the ice cream if it's old Papa Milk's money, you know? I'm spending bag milk's money. I'm going to eat that cone. Nation Dan, who has the ultimate ice cream treat?
Well, I would have said Cold Stone Creamery or any of those kind of ilk, but they started like limiting the toppings that they put in that shit. And that's BS in my mind. So I'm going to say it's the quick stops. It's or quick ways with the frosters. When you get a little bit of soft serve into a slush or a slurpee, as some people call it, to me, that's just an elite little dessert, and it's sneaky good if you get lime with vanilla ice cream.
I had a screamer 2 days ago, Dan. How do you feel about that?
I'm jealous of you now.
You should be. It was delicious.
That's I always agree. That's a good shout. Again, hot summer day. You just get those two things mixed up together. I have seen people, a trend is to go to McDonald's and make your own like ice cream float where you get a vanilla cone and a like medium pop.
I haven't had a float in quite some time.
And you just drop the cone right in there. I'd imagine the cone part gets soggy and unedible at some point, but the yeah, combination
you
of
just
ice
like sans cone for me and my float, please. But I just want the business end of the cone. Mm-hmm.
That's when you grab the ice cream at the top part and you throw it in your drink.
I'm not really like a big ice cream guy though. That's not my go-to.
No.
Yeah.
I went the other day, I was at the grocery store shopping while I was just starving, which is such a mistake. I
bought so many things.
I know. And there was these Oreo drumstick cones. I'm like, fuck, those look so fucking good. So I bought a box and every night I open my freezer, I look at them. I'm like, I should have that, but I got to do something first. And I forget. So anyways,
that's you go home irrelevant. When you leave here.
I'm going to tell Coomzy that story. He'll love it.
Oh, fuck yeah. He'll love it. And then maybe you follow it up when you sell a hat story again. Yeah. When you go home today, I want you to crack open your freezer and you have one of those cones.
Sounds good, buddy.
You're on a nation vacation starting, you know, whenever we're done this.
We got to bring the podcast gear though.
Well, you do. I don't.
Sneaky summer treat is the ice cream, the new ice cream sandwiches that they have out with the vanilla cookies instead of the chocolate. That's good.
Or you get those ones with like the real cookie, right? Not like just like the little
wafer, real cookie,
a real cook.
My missus, I haven't had one of these in 100 years until recently. My missus buys treats of pizzas all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, forget about it.
Overrated.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Sorry, go ahead. Okay, there was just reaction. I'm more of a ice cream cake.
I love an ice cream cake.
Okay. Yeah, but treats of pizza is just lighter.
Dairy Queen cakes are overrated.
Right. And it's portable, really. You could just you could take a slice and away you go. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You're back on the road. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I got nothing. I want to know why you dislike treats of pizzas.
I would just rather have the whole thing. It's like panuckies.
Yeah, I mean, you could eat the whole treats of pizza.
Like a pan cookie. It's just a big cookie, Liam. You're driving me nuts today.
Also don't like.
What? Yeah. What? I'm sorry, Liam. What does it have to do with pan cookies?
That's what I think about when I think of treats of pizza.
Like panuckies.
My friends have this big thing about panuckies and
I don't think I've ever heard that term before just now.
It's a Boston pizza thing.
It's a Boston pizza product.
Yeah, it's a big pan cookie.
Yeah.
It makes sense now that I know, but I don't know. I'd never heard that before, I don't think.
You know what's good?
But we wouldn't go there. We would go to Montana's for our
panuckies. Yeah. Our
panuckies. Yeah. If I'm going for a panucky, I'm getting some ribs first.
Yeah, I'm having ribs too.
Oh, a panucky with a ribs. Big dump of vanilla ice cream on it.
All ribs with vanilla ice cream.
I would absolutely eat ribs with vanilla ice cream on it.
It's like that satanic chicken sandwich you brought up as your cold performer a couple weeks ago, Dan.
That's true. That is very true.
Fucked up. Swiss Chalet should go to jail for that.
Any other delicious ice cream treats you guys would like to argue over before we move on?
Now we did a solid 10 minutes on this one. We're good.
There you go. Montana's. Go in. If there's a location near you, what are you waiting for? Leave the office right now. I will write you an unlicensed doctor note.
How many people are even still listening to this podcast?
All of them.
I would imagine some people million. Got sick of the nonsense here.
What nonsense? We had very important. Wait until what I've got coming for on cold performers. Yeah, if you think we're done with the nonsense.
Hot performer as well. That's going to be nice.
Let's get to it. Tyler, get your buttons ready.
I haven't got a cold yet, though.
I got to tell you about, apparently Treats of Pizza is your cold performer. We're going to have to talk about this afterwards. Hot Cold Performers brought to you by our friends at Twig and Berries. If you go to twigandberries.ca, use the promo code NATION15, you'll get a discount on your order. Or if you're in St. Albert, we're going to check them out in store. You might even see Tyler there. He might even be shopping for some new ODR collection gear. Right, Tyler?
Yes.
Twig and Berries. Time for our Cold Performers of the Week. Nation Dan, you are on screen, so I'm staring at you. Who is your Twig and Berry Cold Performer of the Week?
I'll just take the easy one off the board. It is the loss of Ben Stelter. I know that there's a lot of positive because we got to meet the young guy, but it's absolutely the loss of Ben Stelter this week is my cold performer of the week.
I think across the board, we all agree with 100%, you.
100%. No, totally. Doubt.
Yep.
Liam, your Twig and Berry's cold performer of the week.
Mine would be the person who put the espresso in my coffee this morning.
Why? Tell me about it.
It was terrible.
What'd you order?
I ordered a grande. Well, I ordered a medium chai latte.
Yeah.
And they asked me, they're like, hey, you want espresso? And I've never done that before. And the flavor of my chai tea was non-existent and it just tasted like coffee.
So that's not what. So I hold on. You asked for it and they gave it to you.
They volunteered it.
Suggested,
they upsold you. You got upsold.
I
yeah.
said, yeah, that might be nice. And I tried it and I didn't like it. So my taste buds are my cold.
That's a joke. That's an absolute joke is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Bold by her. You don't fuck with an Englishman's tea. That's
she
what
was
like.
Australian. So she should know.
Oh, she should know.
She should know.
Unbelievable.
She was probably doing it on purpose.
Well,
yeah, she heard you were English and she's like, this is my chance to get back at you.
Never again.
What you did to our people.
Never forget.
Tyler, your Twig and Berry's cold performer of the week.
The news that that Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian broke up. True love is dead.
I don't know what to believe
what
anymore.
What the hell is going on?
How am I supposed to believe in true love?
Although I hope you like my tweet where I said it's another celebrity couple the two of us have outlasted.
I did not see that.
You didn't see that?
No.
I responded it to you.
Oh. I saw today that Tyler wants to kiss me under the CN Tower. That's very exciting.
To celebrate Kim and Pete breaking up.
Well,
there are odds up.
No, don't take away my hot performance.
Okay, I won't. Okay.
Who's left? Me, I guess. My Twig and Berry's cold performer of the week is I'm so excited to go. I'm so excited to spend the weekend with Dan and with Tyler and with Jay and the rest of the nation citizens that are going to Toronto with us on this nation vacation. But my cold performer of the week, 6:30 a.m. flights. I get it. It's 8:30 a.m. in the east when we get on this plane. And when we land, it's going to be early in the afternoon. Our whole day is in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
But what do I have to do? I have to get up at like 4 a.m. to make this happen. Mm-hmm. And that ain't going to be easy. So early wake ups for those flights. You're my cold performer of the week.
You're as cold as ice.
Although that 5 a.m. double Caesar is going to be delicious. Flipping the ledger to a positive note. Let's finish off the podcast with some bright sides. Liam, your Twig and Berry's hot performer of the week.
Chris Evans. No, not Captain America or Buzz Lightyear, but Chris Evans of the Cincinnati Bengals, who is plus 1,400 to be Kim Kardashian's next boyfriend. Coming in slightly ahead is Jamie Foxx, who I'm pretty sure might be married, is plus 1,200. And odds on favorite, plus 800, Van Jones. Don't know who that is. So Chris Evans. Donald Trump also on the list.
Donald Trump going to date Kim Kardashian. Plus.
Van Jones is an American news and political commentator. He's 53 years old.
I recognize that guy.
I would fade that pick.
Yeah, I wouldn't go with that. Pete Davidson still on the list, plus 900.
Number two.
I like Nick Cannon on there.
Ray J.
I like, Ray J, get back together. Why not?
If you wanted to make some money on this thing, Drizzy Drake 30-1 or Michael B. Jordan 33-1. I think that might be the play.
You know, I would do an outside sprinkle on Harry Styles too, because he is just, he's a lady's dream these days.
Been there, done that. Wasn't he with Kendall?
No.
Yeah, he was with Kendall.
And you can't, you're not done until you get to Chris.
Yeah, maybe.
Whoa.
The trifecta.
It took me a second to clone what you
said. Eminem also on the list, plus 6,500, and Johnny Depp too.
If I'm going to bet there, we're going to do a BLT bets impromptu segment. Mm-hmm. My money would go on Drake.
Yeah.
I think I'm on Chris Evans.
Love me. I mean, Drake wrote a song about her.
Yeah.
Come on.
Kiki, do you love me?
Oh, is that?
Are you riding?
Well, maybe.
Huh? We're just putting it out there.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. Chris Evans, shout out to you. I think he's a third string running back on the Bengals. Good for him. Yeah.
Also shout out to, you know what? I don't think Donald Trump's going to date her. I'm just going to put that out there.
I think he's got a bit much going on right now.
Yeah. I think he's got other problems.
Why would I have?
I plead the fifth.
We now begin our political segment of today's show.
Tyler, yeah. Your Twig and Berries hot performer of the week.
My girl, Kennedy's trash. She brought me back. She went on vacation. She went down to the US. Looked like she had a great time at some lakes, did some shopping, but she remembered to bring me back a full case, 12 of them Bud Light sodas.
Is this the second time she's done this for you?
Yes. She's unbelievable. She knows how happy it makes me, and she does it every time she goes to the States.
Do you think there's any part of Kennedy that is trying to poison you slowly, because that's what those drinks are?
I don't even care. They make me so happy, and Kennedy makes me happy. So my hot performer of the week goes to Kennedy for bringing me back once again a case of Bud Light hard sodies.
This is why I'm hot because I'm fly. You ain't because you not.
Nation Dan, your Twig and Berries hot performer of the week.
Well, for my hot performer of the week, I'm going to do a rare thing that I don't usually do. And I'm going to go down to the Calgary Flames organization and point right at their assistant general manager, Chris Snow, who at the age of 37 was told that he was not going to live more than 6 months. And as he posted this morning, he just passed his 41st birthday. So wonderful news, you know, especially with all the bad news yesterday. Good news coming out of that organization. Great news. It's a great reminder that hockey is more than just a game, and we're all in this together. So Chris Snow, you get my hot performer of the week.
It's getting hot in here.
My Twig and Berries hot performer of the week is the Edmonton Oilers head coach, Jay Woodcroft, who is celebrating his 46th birthday today. So I'm going to say, Jay Woodcroft, happy birthday. I still think about the story Tyler told where you helped a lady bring her luggage down. You popped up there. Tyler thought you were going to be one of those first people off the plane guys. No. You're just helping other flight people. What do you call them? Riders.
Passengers
with their luggage. Jay Woodcroft, you get my Twig and Berries hot performer of the week.
I can't believe it.
Flight people.
Flight people.
Hello, flight people.
I hope that's how they acknowledge us tomorrow morning on the plane.
If they greet us, we all have to stand up and clap for you. If they greet us like that, I didn't see that coming.
Hello, flight people.
If you are listening to this and you work for Flair Airlines and you happen to be on our flight to Toronto tomorrow, please call us flight people.
And with that,
we are unhinged today. This was not a great episode.
We are going into vacation mode early, it seems like. I want to say thank you to DoorDash, Oodle Noodle, Cornerstone Insurance, Montana's, and Twig and Berries for making it all possible. And I also want to say thank you to everybody that's listening to this, perhaps even on a plane that we're on. There you go. Oilers Nation Radio 217 in the books. It's Thursday. It's a day early. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Shout out to the Stelters. We're thinking of you guys.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.